So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the angels. And subhanAllah, I remember when I first started teaching the story of Jibreel, there were a few people that criticized that and said, you know, why are you going around the world teaching this class about Jibreel alayhi salam? Why don't you teach a class about aqidah or Islamic theology, creed? Why don't you talk about iman? And I thought to myself, subhanAllah, little do we realize that the second pillar of our faith is belief in the angels. SubhanAllah, when you think about that, that belief in the angels comes only after belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes before belief in the messengers, before belief in the messages, before belief in the Day of Judgment, before belief in divine decree. This is such an important and crucial part of our religion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through teaching us about the angels, He clarifies to us the integrity of the message as it came down to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst many other things. You know, sometimes people ask, why didn't Allah just create everyone in obedience to Him? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make human beings as they are? Why didn't He just make us all forced into worship of Him? And the answer to that is Allah already has a creation like that, and that is the angels. And each creation serves its specific purpose, it serves its specific cause. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, on top of His creation of the angels and the jinn and the human beings, Allah says, وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, that Allah creates things that you have no idea about. So we only know about the angels and the jinn. Allahu a'lam what else is out there. But the point is that this is the second pillar of our faith, and this, you know, this creation is amazing, and it truly does serve an integral role in our iman and in our faith. And as far as the name malaika, malak, the word malak, which means angel, comes from either the word mulk, which means something that is owned, something that is possessed, to indicate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is obviously in possession of this mighty creation. And the other opinion, which I feel like is the more correct opinion, both linguistically and is tied closer to the text, is that it comes from the word al-ak, which al-ak means arsala, means sent. And so the angels are messengers. And the angels are not just messengers in regards to the revelation. So Jibreel alayhi salam is the messenger to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the angels are sent to carry out certain tasks. The angels are sent to document the actions of the children of Adam. The angels are sent to move certain things, to move the winds in a certain way, and so on and so forth. They are the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are such a phenomenal creation that they are created from the most beautiful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is light, an-nur. And the scholars, they comment on that, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or rather the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah's hijab, Allah's veil is nur, is from light. And so Allah chose the most beautiful creation to create this entire species of nur, of light. They're not male or female. So unlike human beings, unlike the messengers of Allah, they don't have a gender. Some people tend to think that the angels are feminine, that they're female. Also, what makes them special, obviously, is لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون, that they are incapable of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't disobey a single command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they do exactly as they've been commanded. And this is something that Islam is unique in regards to its belief in the angels. We don't believe in any fallen angels. We don't believe that the devil was an angel. And in fact, even Harut and Marut, the story of the two angels of Babylon, Harut and Marut, that taught the people magic. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran is that these two angels were not disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, they were sent to test the people. And they told the people, وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرِ, they did not teach the people sihr, magic, until they said, حَتَّى يَقُولَ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةً فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. They said to the people, look, we are a test. Do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of the angels in their respective role are in full obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, and one of the reasons why I chose to teach the story of Jibreel is that sometimes we think the angels are robots. They have no character, right? They just do what they're told. They have no character. But we find that the angels have plenty of character. They love certain things, they hate certain things, they incline towards certain things, all of it within the scope of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we find that the angels have character, and that character is highlighted in Jibreel alayhi salam, obviously, and in the other angels, and because you don't find a single prophet's story except that you find an angel that's mentioned alongside with them. And so this is very significant that we understand the beauty of this creation, the beauty of the angels, and what they love and what they hate and so on and so forth. Now, why did Allah create the angels first? You know, and this is a very important question. Why didn't Allah create, you know, the jinn first? Why didn't Allah create human beings first? Especially if the angels were going to be in service to mankind, to the human beings. Because the angels, the realm of the angels, is completely independent of a paradise or a hellfire. Because they need no incentive. They don't need a Jannah to motivate them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They've been created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So they don't need pleasure or pain to push them towards that worship. That's what they do anyway. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that realm completely independent of paradise and hellfire because they don't even need that. We also see that desire, as Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala says, desire is the veil between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the permissible ones serve as a distraction from us or they distract us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this entire creation free of even the permissible desires. They don't eat, they don't drink. In fact, they cannot eat or drink. They don't want to eat or drink. They don't mate. So you don't have angel husbands and wives that have children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is simply creating them perpetually. They don't get tired. You know, they don't want to sleep. So sleep is not even on the agenda for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ لَا يَفْتُرُونَ, that they glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, and they never, you know, they never even feel a sense of fatigue. So they don't even incline towards those permissible desires. Their obligation and their desire are one, and that is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how beautiful of a creation that feeds off of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what's phenomenal about that all? We said in the beginning of the series that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the disbelievers on the Day of Judgment and the evil people on the Day of Judgment, مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ, that they did not give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his due estimation. Now, when it comes to the angels, what would be their regret? I mean, why would they have any regret if they were created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and if they were incapable of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us that on the Day of Judgment, when Allah sets up the scales, and the Prophet ﷺ said that if you were to place the entire heavens and the earth, we just talked about the heavens and the earth, right? If you were to place them into the mizan, into the scales, لَوَسِعَتْهُمْ, it would fit them. And in one narration, لَوَزِنَتْهُمْ, it would weigh them accurately, you know, with full accuracy. When the mawazin are set up, when the scales are set up on the Day of Judgment, the angels will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, لِمَنْ يَزِنُ هَذَا, who are these scales being set up for? I mean, they're afraid, despite the fact that they've done nothing but worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're afraid. And Allah responds by saying, لِمَنْ أَشَاءُ مِنْ خَلْقِي, for whoever I desire from my creation. So Allah left it vague that you also might have to go through the scales, though they don't have to go through the scales. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, at that moment, the angels will respond, سُبْحَانَكَ مَا عَبَدْنَاكَ حَقَّ عِبَادَتِكَ, how perfect are you, glory be to you. We did not worship you as much as you deserve to be worshipped. Subhanallah. I mean, that's what the angels are saying who did nothing but worship Allah. Human beings, ما قدر الله حق قدري, they didn't give Allah his due estimation. Angels can't disobey Allah. So they will still regret at that point that we did not worship you as much as you deserve to be worshipped. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope you enjoyed and benefited from this video. If you did, then please do share it. And if you'd like to follow the rest of the series, then please do click on the top box. And if you'd like to see all of the other episodes and the other videos we have to offer, then please click on the box under that. And don't forget to subscribe to the channel for more amazing content.